Regeneration is the action or process of being reformed, regrown, or created again, restoring lost or injured aspects of oneself. Join Josh and Kit each week as they discuss what it looks like to seek and to find Jesus in the areas of identity, intimacy, and sexuality. If you'd like to discover God's design for your life and how to live it out, this podcast is definitely for you.
I expected a marital relationship down the road, and I was afraid of ruining my chance at a perfect one. So I took a vow to abstain from sex until marriage, and I wore a ring on the fourth finger of my left hand. When I started hanging out with a guy in high school, I refrained from holding hands with him because I believed it was a short road from intertwining fingers to winding up in bed together. Josh Glazer, Kit Elmer here. We want to talk today about the excerpt I just read is from an article called "Both Purity Culture and Hookup Culture Failed Me" in Christianity Today, and it's by Abigail Murish, posted on July 29th, 2019. And her article is really, it's astute, it's well-read. We're going to actually read some other quotes from it as we go. But we want to talk kind of not just about purity culture and the backlash of that happening in our culture today, but we want to talk just in general about this phenomenon that happens both for singles and for marrieds in the church, where we idolize romance and idolize marriage and idolize sex. Kit, what do you think about that?
I think it's true. I mean, we've talked about this before. I mean, it's kind of pathetic when I think back on my early years sitting at the piano and singing some of these really just emotionally dependent songs, you know, about how I'm going to find my true love and then everything's going to be fine. And this longing, this longing that all that I ever wanted would be fulfilled by a guy, you know, and it's just it. And, you know, all the movies and all the songs, they really absolutely feed into that, to have in the past and still do in a lot of ways.
Yeah. So there's a lot of conversation these days about kind of backlash against the purity ring, the purity movement that was in the 90s. Joshua Harris wrote a book called "Why I Kissed Dating Goodbye" or something like that, and has since renounced that book and is going through a turbulent time of his own right now. We're not going to get into that, but there's a lot of people coming forward saying, man, that, you know, I kind of bought into that whole idea when I was a kid, and it was even pushed on me by some of my Christian leaders, and it's really hurt me. It really messed me up. Anything from, you know, I like this woman wrote in her article, I kind of expected that what this meant was if I follow the rules, if I abstain from sex, if I do the right things, God's going to give me a boyfriend who's going to turn into a husband. And we're gonna have the happy delivery after that I really long for.
Great sex, and yep. it'll all be good.
And so many people who, whether it's the marriage never came, or the marriage came but it was not the happily ever after, or marriage came and love my husband or love my wife, but our sex life really struggles, really painful, really difficult, not what we anticipated, or nonetheless, I did not have sex before I got married, but I struggled with all sorts of sexual sin in my life before I got married. And that stuff's just wreaking havoc on my life today. So a lot of people pointing to that kind of purity movement. But I think the purity movement didn't come out of nowhere. I think the purity movement came as a reaction to our struggles with sexual desire as a whole and not quite knowing what to do with it.
Right.
It was if I could be so bold, maybe an immature approach at dealing with a very mature problem, which is what do we do with desire?
Yeah,
and
it's good.
And romantic and sexual desire specifically.
Yeah.
So I want to read another quote from this article. Again, I just commend the article to you. I think she does a nice job of talking about it. But she says this at the end. She said, in the end, one central truth became clear to me. Both purity culture and the libertine culture of my college campus, so the hookup culture that she was experiencing in college, both the purity culture and the libertine culture of my college campus, even though they advocated very different behaviors, had the same exact problem. They centralized sex and romantic relationships and gave the impression that both are essential for true fulfillment. Both purity culture and the hookup culture told me that sex and romantic relationships would satisfy my loneliness. And to that, God said, "Not true. I have something better." What's not true about that?
You know, this longing that we have, I'm trying to remember, I read something the other day, but, you know, we do have this ache, this longing, some of which will never go away because we have a longing to be with God, one with God in heaven. That's what we were created for. That's not going to happen here. And so we are always longing to find that thing that's going to fix that. And so we're deceived. We're, you know, when we believe that there is something else, God's going to be able to fill some of that in ways that nothing else can. And some of that is going to be with us until, you know, we're not here anymore.
Yeah, I was thinking about, I mean, just on a practical level. So in the groups that we run for men who are struggling with sexual addictions, it's a really common occurrence that for a lot of those guys, they've never let anybody really know them before, beginning with their sexual struggle. So a lot of them come in, this has been a secret part of their lives. Maybe their spouse, if they're married, knew about it, but they've kept it quiet because they were ashamed. And then they find a group where they can begin opening up about it. And it's just like this, you know, the light bulbs go on. They just, oh my gosh, this is so much better. And these, and all of a sudden, it's like they're in the trenches with these brothers and they're feeling this closeness with these other guys, pockets that I've kept to myself. And they start opening about those. That is a great example of what we're talking about in two ways. One, men need other men that they can be intimate with. And I mean intimate relationally, emotionally with. Because there are some aspects, even though in a marriage you want to be emotionally and relationally intimate with your spouse, your other sex spouse is not going to get some of what somebody of the same sex is going to get. And so so the idea that one person is going to satisfy all my needs, or this person plus my family is going to just, you know, I will be relationally and emotionally and sexually and physically satisfied because I've got this family. That's not fair. It's too much pressure to put on one person or one family. But then extend that further, even those relationships with other people, like you're saying, there comes a point where all of us, I mean, two roads here. One is you don't really plumb the depths of your heart. You don't really face those places inside that are still lonely and longing. Or if you do, you'll reach a spot where you realize nobody satisfies this.
Yeah.
Like nobody gets me in this way. Nobody can really understand this.
Yeah.
Some people go pretty, you know, further than others. Some people go further down some tracks than others. But ultimately, like, I think every one of us stands alone. And there is an isolation that a human being feels from other human beings that can never be bridged.
Yeah.
And that's a place that God only is meant to fill.
Yeah. I agree with that. That's a pretty powerful statement right there.
Now, okay, I just preached on and on. You know, thank you, Josh Glazer. I don't like that. And I don't. I think on a day-to-day basis, like, there's something in me that resists that. Like, that doesn't feel like great news. It feels like bad news. How is that good news, and how is that bad news? And what does that news do for us in regards to this whole question about idolizing romance or idolizing marriage?
You know, one of the things that I'm thinking about is we just do not like unresolved longing. We just can't deal with it. You know, well, what is God trying to teach us about that? Like, do we have to have every need satisfied right now? Is that the goal? Or is the goal to actually, you know, or there's many goals, I'm sure, but is one aspect of the goal that, you know, how do we get comfortable with incompleteness and longing and waiting, you know, so that we actually can understand who God is and what he alone can do. And so in that waiting, I just wonder the kinds of things that God is saying to us, like, you're not, if I fix that for you right now, that's not really going to do what you want it to do. Like, there's something I'm trying to grow in you and help you understand about who I am and what life really means that you aren't going to get if you just have all your needs satisfied the way you think. What do you think about that?
Jeez, that's really good. I mean, it's hard. It's a hard word. I think when you say we're not comfortable with waiting, with the unresolved pain or conflict or loneliness or longing, I mean, I mean, if you were to ask me to teach about it or talk about it on a podcast, I would say, amen. If you were to watch my daily life, you know, what I'm like at 11 p.m. after a rough day, like, why am I putting more food in my mouth? Or why am I doing another crossword puzzle or watching TV? And I think for so many, we have whatever that drug of choice is, you know, and it can look really Christian, you know, it's a Christian service or going to church or whatever. But it's really like
compulsion.
I don't want to feel this longing.
I don't
want to
feel it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Christopher West in his book, Fill These Hearts, and this is not an original idea to him. He actually makes that very clear. But he says that the longing, what feeling our longing and being with our longing is meant to do, it actually stretches us. And he uses really like sexual metaphor, you know, like as a bride is stretched to receive her husband. If I can go there, I'm going there. Anyway, he says that longing is meant to stretch us, that we would be able to receive more of God. And if we don't allow ourselves to be with that longing and to feel the longing, then what we in essence are doing is we're keeping ourselves from being able to receive more of who God is for us.
Is that similar to, you know, this idea that, And I believe this. It's just, you know, that the amount of joy that we're going to feel is equal to the amount of pain that we felt. Like there has to be some in life. You have to experience some deep issues of some deep experiences of pain in order to fully understand and receive joy. And those things go together.
I think it probably depends on what you mean by experience the pain. Because I think there are ways that we can experience pain and walk in pain that actually harden us, and we become hardened, kind of calloused people in reaction to our pain.
So allow pain to not harden us, to experience pain in a way that we allow it to teach us, allow it to grow us, stretch us.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was that, you know, the person recently on a John Eldridge podcast said something to the effect of you can have understanding about why you're in pain, or you can have God, but you can't seek both at the same time. So what do you choose? And
I just think there is something that happens in that waiting, longing, stretching, embracing, accepting pain that prepares us to receive deeper fullness of God, deeper understanding of Him. It's mysterious, but I think it's true.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, so coming back to this kind of idolizing romance or idolizing marriage, that in essence, what we're doing there, if what you're saying is true, Kit, what we're doing with that is we are trying to shortcut the resolution to the longing.
Yeah,
we're trying to say like, you know, I can wait another 5 years or 10 years. And I think what happens for so many people is I wait and I wait and I wait and say, you know, I'm still single or I've got married and it didn't happen. Now I become disillusioned. Like, this is not what I signed up for. Lord, I signed up for the version of Christianity where I obey you and do the right thing and then I get married and have a happy life that I can post on Facebook, you know, and this isn't where I am. And I think that's us trying to, again, to steal from Christopher West, that's us taking our eros, that longing that's meant to point us to God, and inverting it and aiming it at something that's temporal.
Yeah.
And it leaves us still longing. And
so the hookup culture and the purity culture have the same thing in common, right? It's like, okay, let me just find, you know, some formula.
Right.
So the hookup culture is, you know, I'll just satisfy my needs and that'll be it, you know, or the purity is, well, I'll follow this formula and that'll be it. We're just not comfortable with complexity and mystery and waiting. And, you know, we want to fix it. We want to find, you know, three easy steps.
Yeah, and I think if I could be so bold, I'd say that there's, you know, maybe a third example of that would be in Christian Christianity, in our Christian culture, maybe there's a better way of saying it. There's hey, you do these three things and you won't ever feel longing, you know?
Yeah.
I remember I was kind of trained, you know, you share your testimony, that's how you do it. You talk about what life was like before Christ.
Yes.
You talk about how you came to know Christ.
Yes.
And then you talk about how wonderful life is now that you have Christ.
Yes.
And I get that. I mean, there's certainly things that have changed in my life, but there were some things in my life and there are some aspects of my life that got harder after I started following Jesus. And
we don't talk enough about that. And that's so, so critical. And and I think it's pertinent to this discussion because we want to circumvent the pain and the longing and the waiting. And so we look for these things when in reality, the pain and the longing and the waiting can be very fruitful. There can be some very important things there.
And what we're not saying, we have to be clear about this too. we're not saying that there is no real value and help in close, intimate friendships or in marriage or in a healthy sex life within marriage. We are placed in the body of Christ and some of us placed in marriages and families as God's provision pointing us to that ultimate connection with Him. And I think there's this element of like we're not supposed to reject those things. We're supposed to receive them gratefully.
Yes.
As a part of not as a full solution to the longing, but as an hors d'oeuvre.
Yeah, I think that's so important. Like, I think, you know, I've learned the hard way with my marriage. Like, my marriage is precious to me, and it's been, and I'm so grateful for it. And I can't put on my husband or my marriage what it can't give me. It's unfair. It won't work. It's burdensome for everyone. But there is something that I get from God that my husband and my marriage cannot give me.
Right.
And it's important to know that.
So going back to the conversation about suffering, like, so the response to that then is not to harden ourselves to those relationships.
Right. That,
you know, you disappoint me and I'm just going to harden myself to you because only God can satisfy me. Me and Jesus alone, like,
right.
You know, I don't need you anymore. Like, that is not, because we are called to community. I mean, God's heart is for community from the very beginning. Like, it's not good for man to be alone. And he didn't respond to that. It's not good for man to be alone by saying, so spend more time with me, Adam. You know, he made Eve. So we are called to the both end of this.
Yes, yes.
Both/and, not END. But I'm just kind of intrigued by some of these ways, and I think it points to the heart's proclivity, the heart's maybe even God-given proclivity towards finding something to worship.
Mm.
You know, I mean, we want to find something that to put our hope in. We want to find something that to set our eyes on, and we want, like, you know, nobody wants to run a race where there looks like that there's never a finish line. You know, like, dear God, have mercy. You know, and I think that life can be long. And I also don't want to suggest in this podcast that what we're saying is there is no ultimate connection with God until you die and are with him face to face. I think there are sweet moments of experiencing how much he knows us and cares about us here. They're not on demand, at least not in my experience.
They're usually sweet surprises.
but practicing spiritual disciplines, showing up for him, I think are some of those ways that we're more likely to experience that, again, as opposed to hardening ourselves to the disappointments of not experiencing them all the times we want to.
And if we can get free from all these other things that we're trying to, like, you know, fix it, then we will be more likely to find it in those moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the author of this article, I mean, her experience was really, like, as she waited and waited and had kind of, you know, some failed relationships in college, and she really began pressing into some discipleship relationships and reading scripture and finding that God really actually honors singleness. And so purity is not an end to reach some other goal, as in marriage, but it is a good end unto itself. And she did end up marrying, but she's very clear in the article that you know, her husband and child do not ultimately satisfy her. And she closed the article, and I want to close it with this. I think this is really, really good. She actually quotes Joshua Harris in I Kissed Dating Goodbye. She says, "The world," this is a quote from the book, "the world takes us to a silver screen on which flickering images of passion and romance play. And as we watch, the world says, this is love. God takes us to the foot of a tree on which a naked and bloodied man hangs and says, this is love." And she goes on to say, "Although Harris is no longer a Christian, I still believe what he once believed. True love comes in the incarnation, when Jesus entered our suffering world to make all things new. As I look to the naked, bloodied man on the cross, I see someone who loved me so much that he died in order that he might call me daughter. He never promised me marriage, but as he calls me his child, he ushers me into a new family, the body of Christ, that loves me and meets me in my deepest loneliness." And I'd add to that it's not just that he calls us daughter, it's that we are called bridegroom or the bride, that we are his bride. And his plan is to be united with us eternally, beginning now and for all of life. And so anyway, we're talking about mysterious things here. We know this is not all wrapped up in a nice, neat bow, but I think if I could sum it up, what we want to say is we want to renounce idolatry of romance and marriage, not so that we just kind of, you know, do the right thing, but because God has something bigger in store in the larger body of his body of Christ, and also in our relationships individually with him. So Lord, you know the longings of our hearts, because you placed them there, Lord. And if you placed them there, it wasn't because you're cruel. And Lord, it wasn't also just to point us to something in the here and now, earthly marriage or relationships. But Lord, you placed them deeply in us because you long for us. You long for those longings to send us on a search to find you. Lord, help us to do so. Lord, give us grace for the journey. And I pray especially for those listening who do feel the ache and the loneliness and the longing in an acute way today. Lord, that somehow through this podcast, and maybe even after it's over, that you would meet them, encourage them on the journey, let them know you're with them. Lord, I pray that for Kit and me too. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we ask it. Amen.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us this week on the Regeneration Podcast. Please make sure to visit our website at regenerationministries.org, where you can subscribe to the show in Apple or Google Podcasts and even Spotify, so you'll never miss another one. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on Apple Podcasts, or if you'd simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out a lot. Thanks so much for listening. We look forward to being with you again next week.